Today we're looking at who is the Holy Spirit. I think for some of us who grew up in church, the Holy Spirit wasn't really mentioned. He was thought of as the Holy Ghost, which always gave me the jitters as a child to think there could be a ghost that was kind of good. So I think that he was very marginalised around about until the 80s, I think, or just before that, middle 70s, when the charismatic movement exploded in the UK. Lots of things went on. There were great charismatic utterances. So this Sunday is the day set apart in the church year to contemplate the Holy Spirit. It's also the anniversary of the birth of the church. Holy Spirit descended on the room of those who were waiting for his coming after Jesus had ascended to his Father. He came in transforming power and remains in our hearts and at large today, working and moving without borders. An example, a missionary working in the Middle East once told me the story of a small underground Bible study that met quietly in a city where Christianity was very heavily restricted. One evening, a young man arrived unexpectedly and asked if he could join them. The group was very nervous. They didn't know him. Gathering itself was very risky. When asked how he'd found them, he explained that he had never met a Christian before. He had begun having vivid dreams about a man in white speaking words of peace and forgiveness. So disturbed and curious, he started searching online and reading a Bible in secret. Eventually, he travelled to another town where someone quietly directed him towards this hidden gathering. So what amazed the believers most was that the young man quoted words from the gospel before anyone had ever taught him. One member of the group said, "We realised that the Holy Spirit had crossed every border long before we ever met him." And that's the assumption that we have today, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is working in this church, but way beyond the borders of this church, into many different places and into some very dark places to bring his light into people's lives. So this, as Julius read, that was Jesus speaking just before he died, John 14, the beginning of the end. So just imagine for a moment that scene. This is the Passover meal, the Last Supper. The evening has come. Jesus has done the extraordinary in washing his disciples' feet. Judas Iscariot has left to do his betraying. And this is the last opportunity that Jesus has to speak with his friends before his arrest and death. Must have been a really strange feeling among the disciples that something horrible and life-changing was about to happen. A great fear of the darkness which was to overwhelm them. So it must have been a real surprise to them when Jesus began to talk to the disciples about another comforter coming after he had gone. Very encouraging but mysterious. What is he talking about? How does this work? What are we expected to have experience of? So Jesus makes it very clear that he has to fulfill his mission, and when he's gone, the Holy Spirit will come. So in effect, the disappearance of Jesus would, for the disciples, be actually a good thing. Their mission to evangelize the world would be launched when the Holy Spirit came. What's the very first thing that they do when the Holy Spirit comes, as recorded in Acts 2? It's to preach, to tell others the good news, and that remains our priority today. The idea of God present in man was very confusing for the disciples, right up to the point when on the day of Pentecost, they experienced his indwelling for themselves. So the big factor here, Jesus, very close, 12 disciples lived with him for 3 years, very intimate, but outside themselves. When the Holy Spirit comes, the worship of God becomes internal. God becomes, for every Christian, an intimate lover and father. So Jesus, limited with his human body to being present to just a few. You know, there's probably 500 odd people that believed him when he died and followed him, worshipped him as God. The Holy Spirit brings intimacy for millions and millions of believers. So the Holy Spirit is also called the Paraclete. our advocate and helper. And this wasn't some automatic, impersonal response. It's not even a kind of ethereal feeling that God is with you in some kind of mystical kind of way. We're told in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is a person who can be hurt, who can be disappointed, who can be full of joy at what is going on in our lives. So when we receive Jesus, we accept him as our Lord and God. We have the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to begin to work there. And the work of the Holy Spirit affects the world, transforms it through radical change in behaviour. It brings to people a sense of sin. We have all messed up. We have all fallen short. But that's not to condemn us. That's to bring that person to recognise what Jesus can do in our lives. He exposes, he condemns, he convicts. Acts 2 verse 37. So this is the first sermon that Peter preaches, day of Pentecost. He goes out there and he preaches this sermon to all these people. And their response is, they were cut to the heart and said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" That's kind of the response that the Holy Spirit brings to us. What shall we do? So through faith in Jesus, God lives within him or her. The believer is now able to live loving and holy lives in the power of the Spirit. The call is to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around, to live radically different lives so that people stand up and notice in the best possible way. The defeat of the evil one is made apparent through the victorious living of the Christian. So the Holy Spirit will also teach believers about Jesus and give them the desire to learn. So one of the marks for me is somebody speaking a different language. I'm not talking about charismatic languages here, but languages of the heart. When the people open themselves up and go, "This is what God's saying to me deep, deep inside," that's a really great sign. And then a hunger for the Bible, you know, a real desire to read it. Isn't it wonderful that the Holy Spirit supports and amplifies and reminds us about Jesus? The Holy Spirit lives to glorify the Father, but he's co-equal with God. Do you see that? So he's co-equal with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Eternal dance of intimate communion between those three. So some characteristics of the Holy Spirit from this passage. He has many, but these are just a few, not an exhaustive list. So first of all, he's the Spirit of truth. He reveals to us what we should know. So he knows so much, he reveals just a very small part of that to us, a need-to-know basis. How many of us perhaps have read the Bible regularly? We may be hearing a familiar passage for the umpteenth time, but it grabs us as never before, and it's like it's the first time we've heard it. Instance, Nailsea, we have a Bible study every fortnight, and there's a dear couple there that have been Christians many, many years. Their son is a big minister over in Oxford. They know the Bible through and through. And we were reading a passage, and the woman said, "I never realised that before. I've read that passage loads of times, but that speaks to me in a different way." The Spirit of truth at work to bring fresh revelation into our lives. The Word is made living through the Holy Spirit. And all through the years, we can see that truth is revealed by the Holy Spirit to inventors, doctors, great composers, hymn writers, artists, and so on. Those breakthroughs of antibiotics, DNA, even electricity have always been here. But the Holy Spirit chose a time to reward them to humans. Secondly, he seeks to glorify the Father and the Son. So just as all that Jesus did, and he said very clearly in the Bible, "All I do is to glorify the Father." That's his sole focus. People say to me, why can't I do what Jesus did? I get it completely. I have the same question in me. But it's because our minds are so tangled up with loads of different stuff going on, and our desire to follow God and to obey God is just one of those many things that is sort of battling away in our mind. Jesus had total commitment. He lived his life as a servant of his Father, lived his life to glorify the Father. So the Holy Spirit works to glorify Jesus. The eternal triangle united in their total self-giving love for each other. People sometimes ask me, do I know that this is what's happening, is the Holy Spirit or not? Well, the one principle that we work to is what's happening to you, or maybe through you, is that glorifying the Father? Is that to everyone's good that is happening? And then thirdly, he tells us what is to come. So the Holy Spirit knows what it is to be and prepares us for it. I've had a sense many times of walking into a very dark cave, and yet God illumines aspects of that cave. Perhaps we've had a sense, looking back at some terrible event in our lives, that he has prepared us for that. He revealed to us that he is Lord of that situation. Nothing is out of his control. Some of you will remember my dad, and when he died, I just had a very strong sense on leaving him in his hospital bed that this would be the last time that we had together. He'd only been in hospital one night. There was no real diagnosis of his situation, but it came as no surprise when the hospital rang during the night and said that he had died. The Holy Spirit preparing us. And then the Holy Spirit is our counsellor. Counsellors are a big thing these days. I understand that and support that entirely. And so much is done through being able to just talk things through. It's an amazing medium. Just the conversation, somebody talking, somebody listening, is a really hugely healing thing. So the Holy Spirit is our counsellor, paraclete, it's called in the Bible. And he's here to support us. He's on our side completely. He's here to support us, guide us, provide for us, protect those who believe in Jesus. To extend from this, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to change us from within. He gives us the words to pray when we have no words. He even prays in ways that are too deep for words. And by his presence, he protects us from the domination of the evil one. So people, I remember when one of our children was very young, and we were quite worried about them going to a mosque, which was part of like the RE studies. And a wise person said to us, well, you shouldn't worry about them because they'll be covered in prayer. They'll be protected. And it is that sense that, yes, we can go to places where we really shouldn't, and then it all begins to be a little bit iffy. Somebody said to me that angels maybe only fly at 70 miles an hour. So if you're driving your car faster than 70 miles an hour, don't feel that you're going to be protected by those angels. I'm not sure how true that is, but it's an interesting thought. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. You know, we can go into very unprotected areas because we're not meant to be there. But generally speaking, the Holy Spirit protects us, he keeps us safe. But he can be grieved by what we do or say. He is a person. We are made in his image. He doesn't have human form, as Jesus took on, but he has similar characteristics, similar identity to Jesus, the perfect human. And then fifthly, his ministry is to unleash the powers of the promised kingdom of God in the world. So remember, Jesus, when he preached his first sermon, he talked about the kingdom of God has come. So Jesus introduces the kingdom of God. How does that kingdom of God grow? How does it blossom from 500 people to now a couple of billion people, perhaps, throughout the world that are Christians? How did that grow? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not fight this battle alone. Perhaps, most particularly in recent years, we've perhaps felt as Christians under siege. This country, we have falling church attendance and an increasing anti-Christian sentiment. In other countries, they have persecution, even death for being a follower of Jesus. But these words reinforce the notion that the light has come and has spread. Yes, we as all humans prefer, in some bizarre way, we prefer bad deeds to good. But the kingdom of God is on the march, taking strongholds. Think of, again, of China. So many missionaries worked there with so little return over so many years. But now, estimated Christian population, around about 100 million. Take time to think of the worldwide view of the church. Think of the mega churches in South Korea. The Holy Spirit is truly on the march. So we have some images to help us understand what the Holy Spirit looks like. The dove is one. So we have that great image with the branch in his beak. We can see the effects of the Holy Spirit's presence, even though we can't see him. Tongues of fire, which rested on the disciples at Pentecost. The fire is described as tongues. So pray for the courage of tongues, the courage to speak. I have so many episodes where I look back and I think, I wish I'd talked to that person at that point in their lives. Frequently in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is seen as Ruach, and I think dear Lenny introduced that idea afresh to the church with the Ruach Cafe, the wind of God. So when it talks about the wind of God moving over creation in Genesis 1, that's talking too about the Holy Spirit of God, moving and anointing wherever he chooses. And we know him too as the dove which descended on Jesus at his baptism. And then also water. Jesus often used water as an image of the Spirit. That's Ruach. And Jesus said, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Not quite sure what the Jews made of that at that time, but for us today, it talks about the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. How do we love until it hurts and then continue to love? Well, we do it not in our own strength, because that's impossible, but through the strength of the Holy Spirit guiding us and providing for us. So I was 16 when I was baptized, and it was a fairly uneventful experience. I felt that I needed to be baptized, but there wasn't any great charismatic feeling when I got out. No particular signs of God's presence. And then within a month or two, various teenagers my age, I was 16, various 16, 17, 18-year-olds started turning up at church. Really bizarre, because there was only me and my brother at church before that. And they were running a group. They had a group that met, so I'd go along to that group. And it was extremely kind of charismatic. We tried all the gifts of healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of knowledge, all the rest of them. And it was a very powerful time. We'd go to a place called Cobham, which was very kind of on the edge charismatic in those days. Went to hear some great speakers and things like that. And I think that what it did for me was just give me the kind of heart knowledge as well as the head knowledge. I knew that Jesus Christ was God, but welcoming the Holy Spirit into my life and in a full-on kind of way just enabled me to know through my whole being that Jesus was the Son of God. And to have that experience of the Holy Spirit, I remember times when I couldn't even stop smiling. It was just such a great experience. So if you feel, I believe in aspects of Jesus, but you've not experience that for yourself, please speak to me. I'm happy to pray with you. I think it's an ongoing revelation. I don't believe in just a second baptism. I believe that the Holy Spirit continues to reveal himself to us and give us great joy. I remember cycling. I used to cycle to work, and at times cycling to work can just be full of this kind of joy of the Lord that threatened to knock me off my bike because it was a bit challenging cycling in London. So that's the joy that we have, the recognition that the Holy Spirit is totally on our side, totally with us, totally for us, just like the Father and the Son is. And we can be blessed. He doesn't do things that we won't permit in our lives. He's gentle. He works with us. He's totally cooperative with us. So God bless you, and through his Holy Spirit, lead you into new experiences of his love and a closer walk with him. Amen. We're going to...